This Friday, Fontana will start its online season with a concert by Voces 8. This concert will be available online through the website fontanamusic.org. And I am very lucky to be speaking to two Voces 8 members currently in London, where they are filming this concert for Fontana. My guests today are Paul Smith and Blake Morgan. It's great to talk to both of you.
Hello, very nice to be with you too.
I guess the big question is, how do you sing through a pandemic? Does anyone want to start with that?
Well, we've developed lots of ways to try and do it. The first step we did was we equipped everybody in the group with multi-tracking equipment. So we've all learned how to use this system called Pro Tools, which is a computer software that allows us to track individually in isolation. And then also we've gotten together and developed a digital concert series and also a digital education series. And that's all happening right now. One of them is called Live from London. Paul could tell you more about that. But we also have the Digital Academy, which is the educational side of things. Can you talk about Live from London?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster few months for us over here in London. As we know, all of you guys in the States are having a crazy time of it at the moment with the pandemic. The rules over here seem to change daily for us. So London is an interesting place to be, but we watch very carefully what the government says every day. And we then make sure that here at the Voces 8 Centre in the heart of the City of London, we've spent lots of time working out how to equip and run the space in a way that's safe for all of our team to be here and putting on some socially distanced digital concerts. So as Blake mentioned, we started a series called Live from London back in August, and we're just now gearing up for Live from London Christmas, but we're thrilled that we're going to be recording a concert for you wonderful folks over in Kalamazoo this afternoon. And so we've turned our space in the City of London into a virtual choral concert
broadcast arena.
It's pretty great. We have so many video cameras now that we didn't have before. It's like they're sprouting by the minute. So I think we have about 15 cameras now in the space, and it's been a real learning curve for all of us, but we're just trying to find ways to keep people making music and enjoying music, and we're thrilled that we're going to be able to connect with all of you in Fontana Arts as a way of having some form of concert, even though of course we'd love to be there in person. We're very, very sad not to be there,
especially
Blake.
As a Michigan boy, I love seeing family and friends, and it's always an incredible place to come back to. I went to school at Western Michigan University, so this is a hometown concert for me that I'm very sad to miss, but I'm glad we're able to join you digitally.
It's special regardless, I must say. And I love that you are working so hard at rising to the moment. It's not a let's stop and quit for a while, but let's be the water in the stream going around the boulders here.
That's a lovely way of putting it, that water in the stream. I'm going to borrow that and use that elsewhere. That's really nice. I think, there are definitely two ways we could have dealt with the last year, aren't there? We could have just buried our heads and disappeared and gone for a nice long break. But actually, we felt that probably choral music is needed now more than ever as a way to try and bring people together when they feel perhaps isolated at home. So we've just tried to find a way to do something. And we've actually been thrilled by the solidarity that the rest of the choral world over here in the UK has shown in getting involved with Live from London with us. It's been amazing to see artists just saying, yeah, we'd love to be involved. Let's collaborate. Let's do this.
It's a win-win, really, because it helps the other groups as well to stay afloat. And in this coming winter festival, we have some American groups. We had Chanticleer, if you know Chanticleer, the great men's ensemble from San Francisco, who actually I used to be a member of as well. But we had them in our summer festival. And this upcoming Christmas festival has the Aeolians of Oakwood University, and also Take Six is in that as well. Anuna is in it. They're not quite American, but closer to the American side, almost mid-Atlantic.
Long way away. Yeah, it's a real international festival for the Christmas version.
Definitely. It's going to be fun.
Well, let me give some perspective on Voces 8 as a bit beyond a premier a cappella choral group. I mean, right out of the gate, you were one of the premier choral a cappella ensembles with exciting programs bridging many different genres and centuries in music. I feel that from the very beginnings, it's been building at different layers, different, not just up, but around. And as you're looping in mentions of other groups you're working with, it seems like the mission had to do with getting as many people to sing and use their voices as possible. Is that true?
Sure. I think when we started out 15 years ago, some of us, the older members of the group, you know, a few wrinkles now, we always had this idea that what we would do, of course, would be about giving concerts on stage, but would also have this sense of building community and encouraging as many people as possible around the world to sing with us. And that's always been central to what we've been doing. And in a normal year, we would be singing with something like 40,000 people each year in different parts of the world and different projects that we run. That's been somewhat different this year, as you can imagine, but we've done lots and lots of big virtual community endeavors to help try and find a way for people to keep making music. And I think that essence of family and that sense of being together is something we love about being in a choir. You know, actually, it's this thing that bonds us in a performance and in the way we rehearse and everything else. And hopefully that spills out into the way we live and share our music as well. Do you think that's fair as the American
Definitely.
In the group? Do you still feel too foreign?
I mean, this is coming from Paul Smith, who's, you know, one of the original legends of the ensemble, the founding member of the group with Barney, his brother. But I think it's certainly evolved over the times as well. We definitely believe in evolving and changing, and so that we can give people what they need and to reach people from all over the world. And right now that looks a lot different than it did maybe 15 years ago when you were singing at your local parish church and helping the people in that community. And it's expanded hugely to an international level now, and we love that we're able to do that.
The concert on Friday is called Enchanted Isles, and I saw references to composers going back 500 years. Maybe you could give us some hints about the flow of this program, the scope of this program.
Sure. How about I start off with the old people and then you can bring in some of the modern stuff. Perfect. I think in Rochers 8, we love to mix and match and actually find ways for people to see how an ancient composer, a Renaissance composer, for example, might sit alongside a contemporary composer and see how the music almost informs you and helps you see how gaps are being bridged across centuries. And I think actually the opening of the concert is going to include a piece of Gibbons from the English Renaissance, which pairs with a piece by Arvo Pärt, a contemporary composer. And actually when you hear those together, there's something that really is very powerful and we hope will bring both pieces to life. And yes, throughout the music in the concert, you'll see all sorts of different styles of music from Monteverdi to Rachmaninoff, but also we have some contemporary composers, including Roxana Panufnik, our current composer in residence. And I have to say, this is one of my favourite pieces in the programme. I'm gonna steal that one now, that line. But Love Endureth by Roxana Panufnik, it's absolutely fantastic. And I hope when your audience hears it, the sound world's just going to take them to a different place.
Well, if I may, this is what I'm talking about when referencing building out from the choir. You have a composer in residence, you have an arranger in residence, you have educational programs, and it wasn't by accident. I think there was a very deliberate philosophy from the get-go. Maybe I'm projecting, but Voces 8 has done a wonderful job of building out on the music.
Thank you. You make us sound very philosophical, so that's we're very happy to sound.
It's really just him that's philosophical.
We all sit and think a lot in these COVID times. Yeah. I think it just comes back to that essence that we love singing music of many different styles, many different varieties. We love singing jazz, and I'm sat next to the jazz specialist in the group right here,
Mr. Improv.
Indeed, Mr. Improv. I think I'll call him that.
Whether good or bad, it's improvised.
But you know, we love singing jazz, but we also grew up in, many of us, in the cool heritage over here in the UK, and actually a concert which can feature those things and can show the strengths and the versatility of the different members of the group, I think, is really exciting. And we hope that a member of an audience might come and they might come to the concert because they like one type of music, and they might leave liking more than one type of music. Hmm. And I think that's a nice thing that we always try to encourage people to think about.
You have been known to present a sort of traditional, not unamplified choral singing concert in the first half, and then go to microphones, a totally different technique in the second half of a concert. It sounds like, though, this one will be a little more just back and forth. Is that right, Blake?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both worlds. And actually, I mean, we do some concerts on microphone, but for the most part, maybe only an eighth or something of the concerts we do are actually on microphone. We're definitely an a cappella acoustic group most of the time. So the jazz repertoire, we love to find pieces that do work in the acoustic realm that we can sing in a cathedral that still carries to the back of the hall, and you still get that clear definition if something's swinging, you know, it doesn't get into a massive blurry mush. So there are some pieces in this program that we have that are really fun. We've got a piece, Moon Dance, the Van Morrison piece that I think many people know, an arrangement by Alexander Lestrange did that one, I think. And also Straighten Up and Fly Right, which has been with the program, we've been with Watcha Say in the program for, I mean, almost 13 years.
Yeah, a long time. But it's one of Blake's leads, and he does it quite well.
I think it's the lead has been shared by every single tenor one that's been in the ensemble. So it's been at least three or four tenors have sung that lead now, and I'm very glad to have inherited it.
Do you feel the weight of responsibility?
Yes, definitely. Especially with the improv elements in it. But that's always a fun one, and that gets the audience tapping a little bit, tapping their feet. And the introduction's always fun. I think it's going to be done by Ellen in tonight's program. Ooh. So changing it up a little bit. It's usually done by me, so we'll see how she does.
This concert will be available through the Fontana website, fontanamusic.org, on Friday at 7:30. That's the live release, although ticket buyers will be able to view the concert anytime for a set period of time. So if you're at all interested in what you're hearing with my guests Paul Smith and Blake Morgan of Voces 8, you can go to fontanamusic.org right now. And before I let you go, Blake, I have to ask you about being an American in London and some of your experiences, culture differences, some things you've adopted, perhaps.
Well, I guess I've adopted the lingo ever so slightly. I mean, I still have an American accent. Maybe it's a little more pronounced. My friends back home say, oh, you definitely have a British accent, but it's definitely not British. I mean, you wouldn't say it's British, but I think there's certain words and certain terminology you might use, you know, you don't want to walk into a restaurant and say, hey, can I use your bathroom? Usually they'll give you a second look, and you have to kind of adopt the, you know, is there a loo here or something like that. There's lots of weird British phrases I think you start to learn. But, I actually live in Edinburgh in Scotland. So there's many different ways of saying things throughout the UK. The UK has this beautiful dialect, regional kind of thing that happens where you even move, you know, 20 miles and you can hardly understand the accent. It's totally different. So
exactly.
I guess I'm trying to decipher between Scottish and the British English.
Your accent, it's going to get very messed up is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a chameleon now. Just going between different accents all the time. It's fun.
You know, as a side note, I also host and a co-host an hour of traditional Irish dance music on the weekends here, and you know, it's filled with fiddles and bagpipes and accordions and things like that. And this program also comes from this wonderful The Enchanted Isles, and I was wondering if there were any perhaps Irish or Scottish pieces on the program.
Do you know, I often we do a very well-known piece called Danny Boy, which has ties.
I've heard of that one. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah, heard of that one. Blake, your version of Caledonia is one that's been very popular as well and appears on the album. But I don't think it's in the show, is it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. But you can certainly find it online. So once people have finished the concert experience with Fontana Arts, if they want to hop onto YouTube, I'm sure they can find a version of Danny Boy in Caledonia to complete the picture for them, those misty isles.
Well, I think that's where we'll leave it for today. I want to thank both you, Paul, and you, Blake, for giving us this preview on your taping day. What will happen once you head back into the rehearsal space or the concert space?
I think it's time for everyone to go and get all suited up into our best bib and tucker for the evening ahead. And we're going to set all of our cameras rolling and make some beautiful music in the acoustic we have here, which is quite spectacular. I think your audiences will hear in the concert on Friday night how gorgeous this building that we run in the centre of London is. It's an old Christopher Wren church right next to St Paul's Cathedral. And it has an acoustic which makes every singer very happy to be here.
Absolutely.
Just want to say once again, I'm really thrilled to talk to members of an ensemble that has both made performing at the highest professional level their goal, but then becoming also the group that says, hey, you too can sing. You can also participate. And the standard of singing tends to rise when you act in that way. And we've seen that through your tours and outreach and interviews just like this one. So thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you in person sometime soon.
Thanks for having us.
And a big hello to all my Michigan friends out there.